Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Make myself a note. We do have a thank you card from Miss Alice. During a time like this, we realize how much our friends mean to us. We have lost someone very special. Thank you for sharing our sorrow with the family of LaVon, Von, Von. And then Miss Alice writes, thank you for the silk pine cone magnolias. They will look good for a long time, just as I will remember your kindness. So continue to remember Miss Alice and her family. The flower calendar is located on the wall in the hall. Please take the time to sign up to provide flowers for the sanctuary. This Thursday, February 26th at 7 p.m., Standing in the Gap men's meeting. We'd like to invite all the men and boys to that meeting. Please plan on attending it this Thursday. Hard to believe. Next Sunday is March the 1st. 9 a.m. we'll have our monthly breakfast in the fellowship hall. So please come and have that time of fellowship with us and stay for Sunday school for that. Wednesday, March the 4th at 6:30 p.m. is our fellowship meal and church conference. And then Sunday, March the 8th, daylight saving time begins. So it's spring forward, right? Fall back. That's the only way I can do it. So if you don't, you'll be here on time. Is that right? You'll be here on time. You'll be here an hour early, right? Yeah. Change the clock. You'll be an hour late. Spring forward. So change your clocks back Saturday night. Moving forward. Saturday, March the 14th at 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., the clothes giveaway at the church. Please bring your donated items to the church on Sunday, March the 8th, so we'll have time to sort them by sizes and also get them put out for that clothes giveaway. And be in prayer for that. Then Sunday, March the 29th, is the Lord's Supper during morning worship service and fellowship lunch afterwards. And then Sunday, March the 29th at 6 p.m., worship in the original church. Any other announcements? As we go to any birthdays? As we go to the Lord in prayer, we mentioned her... Brittany's roommate, Miss Goodman, we need to continue to remember her in our prayers. She's not doing well at all. So remember her and also remember the Bond family. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this opportunity to gather, to have this time of worship and praise this morning, Lord. And Lord, we do just want to make sure, Lord, that we give you all the glory and all the honor this morning, Lord. And Lord, as I know, Lord, many times, Lord, they are distractions in our lives, Lord, and we get distracted so easily with the cares and the worries of this world, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we'll use this time this morning, Lord, to just put all those things aside, Lord, and just worship you, Lord, and worship you alone. Lord, we do just lift Brother Tim up to you today as he proclaims your word, Lord. As always, Lord, we know that he has come led by the Holy Spirit, Lord, and he will proclaim the truths of the Bible, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord. But as he does, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we'll be attentive, Lord, that we will be what we would call good listeners, Lord. But not only listeners, Lord, but we also be doers of the word. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we sing together hymn 136, Are You Washed in the Blood? Are you truly trusting in His grace? Yes, I am washed in the blood. Psalm 15. It is greater than all of our sin. Thank you.
2 hours, the church hour, Lord. We just thank you for this opportunity to lift up our Savior and praise his name and thank him for what he did for us. We pray that you'll be with the gift and the giver, Lord. We pray that you'll bless each, and Lord, we pray that we'll glorify you in all we say and do. We pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
This morning, turn to Joshua chapter 2. Much like any of the other books of the Bible we study, there's going to be times where we cover a large amount of ground and other times not so much. But today, this morning, and this evening, we're going to seem like going pretty fast. But this morning in Joshua chapter 2, we're going to read a very familiar story to most of us. It is a well-known passage of scripture, but I'm just going to really get down into it and go ahead and read it. And then we'll do a little bit of background as we go through and after we read it and see that, as I'll point out. Because we read this story, and most of us, if we had a story to tear out of the Bible, it would probably be this one, because it talks about a harlot or a prostitute. And we said, well, we can't have that in the church, right? We can't have anybody like that in the church. But in God's sovereignty, God placed her in the family, in his family, in the lineage of Christ, and we'll look at that today. Let's go ahead and read Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from the acacia grove to spy secretly. It's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Spy secretly. We'll talk about that in a minute, too. Saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords, And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. There, you hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear. Unless, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days, until the pursuers returned, and the pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, crossed over, and they came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have read this passage, Lord. Lord, help us see something new. Help us see a way this morning, Lord, that we can apply your word to our hearts, to our lives. Lord, to realize that if you happen to come after us in your sovereignty, Lord, none of us would return to you. If it wasn't because you took the initiative, Lord, none of us could be saved. So, Lord, I pray this morning that you would just help us to see, Lord, no matter where we're at, Lord, when we place our faith and trust in you, it changes everything. It changes our past, it changes our present, it changes our future. So, Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going back to the beginning. I mentioned that about to spy out the land secretly. You know, spying secrets kind of synonyms, aren't they? If you're going to go somewhere, if you're going to go somewhere to overthrow a country, you're not going to go there with a parade going on. Say, hey, I'm here to overthrow your country. And so Joshua sent these two men. It's interesting that 40 years earlier, Moses had sent 12 spies. And he sent them with the command to spy land, right? To check, see, you know, is the land good? Is it flowing with honey? You know, all these things. But when we get to Joshua chapter 2, we realize this whole generation has died off. Everyone that's 20 years and above, back in Moses' leadership, they all died in the wilderness. We had two men, Joshua and Caleb, who survived. All those that had died off, Joshua is a military leader, but now he's also the leader of the nation of Israel. And he sends these two men not to see if they can take the land, which Moses didn't send the 12 over there to see if they could take the land. He didn't. He sent them over just to see it, come back, report on it. But when they came back, they decided to, as we know, 10 of them said, oh, we can't do it. They're too big for us. The land swallows its inhabitants and all this other kind of nonsense. But Caleb and Joshua said, we are well able. If God is for us, who can be against us? Basically is what they said. But here, Joshua sends them over with the purpose, not if they can take land, but how we can take it. He wanted to know, what about water? What about food provisions? All the things you would need to know to go over and take a major city of that time. So he sends them over. He sends them over, and first place they go to was Harold's house. Now let me be clear, the Bible says nothing about any immoral conduct, okay? Why did they, from a military standpoint, why did they go to her house?
Good place to get information.
Good place to get information, right? You got people coming in and going out all the time. Hey, what's two other guys, right? And I'm not meaning that from a bad, negative point of view, but God had a plan. Out of all the houses that were there, how did these two men end up at Rahab's house? Because we think a lot of things just happen by random chance. But can I tell you, with God, there is no random chance. He has a plan and purpose for every single one of us. And it doesn't matter if you're born to high society or in low society. It doesn't matter if you're on this side of the tracks or the other side of the tracks. God has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us. And for those who place their faith and trust in Him, it doesn't matter who we are, what we did. He's willing to save us, as we'll see through our study this morning. Well, the sovereignty of God. These men, they go to her house. And it's interesting that as they get to her house, I want us to look at these verses. And if you have... if you're in the habit of doing so, I want you to underline these words or circle them in your Bible. But let's go back to verses 10 and 11 if we can. Let's know what this says here. This is Rahab speaking, okay? This isn't the mother of the leader at the First Baptist Church of Jericho, okay? That this is a woman of ill repute, bad reputation, and she says this. She says, for we have heard. If you're used to doing it, highlight whatever, underline or highlight the words, we have heard, okay? We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard, underline those again, we heard, what happened to them? Our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. But it wasn't because of the people, really. Who was it because of? She says, for the Lord your God. He is God in heaven and on earth. And we'll stop right there. But think about this. Here, God instructs Joshua, I'm sure, because Joshua has learned, he has seen, he has witnessed God's miracles time after time after time, even though he was under Moses' authority before Moses passed away. He's seen, he's been there. He's done all these things, and he's done it with faith and through faith. And so he sends these two guys over, and it's not coincidence. Here again, they show up at Rahab's house. You could say, well, that's just a military pull, and it could have been, but God's still sovereign, and God still works things over in his own will and in his own way. So they go, and first thing she tells them, she really knows where they're from, right? She told the king she didn't know where they were from, and that's a whole other study for a whole other time about why did she lie and God let her get away with it. We won't get into that this morning. I don't have time for it. But anyhow, she says, we've heard. Who is the we? Who is she talking about we? She's talking about the whole city of Jericho. The whole territory, everyone has heard about what the God of Israel did to the Egyptians, to the nation of Israel as they crossed out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. They do so on dry ground. God drowns all the people. They say it's only 6 inches deep. Well, it's a miracle God can drown that many people in 6 inches of the water, amen? But he drowns them in that water. And they come over to the promised land, but they fail to enter, and so God makes them wander in the wilderness for 40 years for judgment. But in that time, all the nations around had heard about the God of Israel. They had heard what God had done for his people. Rahab said in verse 9, she says, I know that the Lord has given them the land, talking about Israel, and the tear of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Listen to what Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 25 says. This is where they go across, right? God's already foretelling what's going to happen. This is God in his sovereignty. He says, this day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. God has already been working. So a lot of times when we think we can't see the future, guess who's already there making out the plans? God is. That's his sovereignty. You say, well, all this happened to me. Well, it didn't catch God by surprise. It might catch us by surprise. Joshua sent these two guys over. God sent these two soldiers over to a prostitute's house to be encouraged. Now, I know y'all want to take that the wrong way, but that's not how. They're going to be encouraged because they come out the first thing going to tell Joshua, hey, man, everybody over there is scared to death. They're scared to death. You know, don't we all need encouragement at times to realize, hey, God's where he wants us. We're doing what God wants us to do. He's got a plan. These people had heard. It reminds me of Romans 10:17 that says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Rahab had heard, right? She had heard of who this God is. She even says that he's a personal God. He's the God not just in heaven, but on heaven and earth. He's not just the God of the Israelites. He's the God of everyone who believed in him. And she's telling these things because she believes in the God of heaven. Is she in the wrong profession? Yes. Has she done things that were wrong? Yes. But haven't we? Haven't we all done things that by God's standards and the world's standards are not on the level, so to speak? sees one God. But he's not just the one God. He is one God because she's from a nation that worships dozens, if not hundreds, of gods. She's from the pagan. They worship everything and nothing all at the same time. But he was a personal God. She was a God. He was the God of Israel. And she knew that he was giving his people the land. So we come down a little further into verses 12 and 13. And we found that Rahab asked these two men to make a covenant with her. That is a problem. That's a problem. And it's a problem we need to address before we can move on in our study. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, here again, this is before they go in and take land, God tells his people, don't make covenants with anybody. Okay, now let's say, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and like one preacher always used to say, and the Termites too, greater nations, or nations greater and mightier than you, when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. Utterly destroy. Utterly destroy. Make no covenants, don't make vows, don't make promises, don't make agreements, don't take their sons as your son-in-law, don't take their daughters as your daughter-in-law, don't give your kids to them either. Because what usually happens when you mix a believer with an unbeliever? I'm not going to say all the time, but most of the time the unbeliever will persuade the believer to walk away from their faith. To walk away from their worship of the one and only true God. It's a problem, and God knew that. And he said, listen, you're my people. I'm your God. Do things my way. But here he says, listen, you shall utterly destroy them, make no covenant with them. Don't take or give in marriage. So it comes back to the sovereignty. Why sovereignty of God? Why did these two spies go of all places to the house of Rahab the harlot? The sovereignty of God. And of all the people there, she was the only one who believed. They had all heard the gospel, so to speak, right? They had heard about the God of Israel. They had heard about who God was, what he was doing for his nation and for his people, and how that he was just overrunning all these other nations. And the fear of God was in everybody, but there was only one that chose to believe. Sovereignty of God. So she asked them in these verses, and did I have 12 and 13 in there? Let's show them again. Okay, say verse 12. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, brothers, sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from this year. Deliver us from death. She already knew what happened to the other kings, Sihon and Og, how they were utterly destroyed. And she knew that they were coming to Jericho to do the same thing there. And she asked them to swear, to make an oath with her, to make a covenant deal with them. But God said, don't do that, right? Remember, we just read it, Deuteronomy. Don't make any covenant. Why would they make a covenant after God said don't do it? I think in order to understand that, we have to understand once again the sovereignty and providence of God. These men were not being disobedient to God. They were fulfilling their duty to spy out on him and give a report. But I want us to look at in the New Testament for just a minute to get some understanding of what's going on here in my belief. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, this is what Paul says. It says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How does God work? Through works in us or by faith in us? By faith. Does this wire's got short in it somewhere. I know how to get the Holy Spirit moving now. That's how I move. Just as Abraham believed God and it was what accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of who? Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by what? Faith. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of what? Faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You see, God, not only in the presence in the New Testament times and in our time, he saved people by faith, right? Back when he saved Abraham, it was by what? Faith. You see, Rahab had faith in God, right? She not only knew of him, she knew who he was, what type of God he was, and she knew that she could find hope and a future in him. Why else would she want these two spies to make a covenant? Because she had faith in God. She was a child of God. Because of her faith, as we just read in these verses, we find that she, because of faith, because she believed, she is a son of who? Abraham, right? She is a child of faith, just like you and I. Now, if we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, we'll carry this thought out a little further. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without who? Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul's saying, listen, it doesn't matter if you're, and we've studied Galatians, so it in depth, but Galatians, Paul said, listen, it doesn't matter whether you can trace your lineage of Abraham down to the present time, and you can say that because of Abraham I can get into heaven, which is not true, right? Because it's by faith that we get into heaven, not because who we were born to. Right? If my mom and daddy was preachers and I said, well, I'm going to get in on their coattails, guess what? I'm going to fall off on the way up, right? It's not going to happen. They're going to go and I'm going to stay. If I put my faith in anything other than Jesus Christ, then I am not saved. But through Rahab's faith, she was a Gentile. She was an heir to the promise, right? But we all become heirs of the promise when we place our faith and trust in who? In Jesus Christ. She believed. She believed. And as that verse says, you know, she was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But God had a plan. Amen? God had a plan. And God, before these two men even got there, I believe she was already a believer, right? Because she had heard, and she believed in the God of Israel and what he was capable of doing and what he would do. Now, let's go back and look at the first 10 verses in chapter 2, if you will, with me for just a moment. Paul's talking to the church at Galatia. This is the letter written to, Ephesians. The church at Ephesus, and he's telling them about who we all are. Because the church at Ephesus wasn't a bunch of Jews. There was a bunch of heathens, pagans, non-believers just like us. And here it says, and you, meaning us, he made alive. Who is that he referring to? God, Jesus, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, I love that, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness, or his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Here again, you see, Rahab was dead in her trespasses and sin, just like the rest of Jericho. But it's just like everyone of them too. Aren't we all dead in our trespasses and sin? Romans 3:23 is not in there. It tells us that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is what?
Death.
We are all under a death sentence, just like Rahab was. And so it's her sins are worse than mine, really. What kind of sin does it take to send you to hell? Doesn't matter. Just one, right? Just one of any of the sins. Sins us, it breaks our fellowship with God. And we are deserving of death. You see, Rahab was dead in her trespasses and sin, just like we are. But the grace of God stepped in. Rahab was a woman who went from being a harlot to heaven. She went from being a prostitute to paradise. You say, well, how can that be? So she believed in the God of Israel. She believed in the God, and she might not have known all the details. Aren't you glad you don't have to know all the details to know Christ? Amen. She might not have known all the details, but she knew enough to say, listen, I believe in this God of Israel. I believe in who he is and what he's done. And maybe she had heard of some of the promises that God had made so many years before. But she trusted in him. It's interesting because I think as I studied through scripture, I often come up with many different questions, and I'm not saying I get them all worked out, but think about this. Why did God want all these nations destroyed in the first place? Because in our society, we tend to say, oh, well, God just wouldn't do that to anybody. Why would God want these people wiped out? Well, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And read it, and then we'll talk about this one. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of Anakim, whom you know and of whom you heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. You shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Do not think in your heart that the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, listen to the personal response of the people who think they own God, so to speak. Because my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess it. In other words, God saying, don't think this way. Don't think it because of your righteousness and how good you are that I'm bringing you over here. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is that drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a what? Stiff-necked people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. Why did God want these people destroyed? It wasn't because his people were good, okay? It wasn't because they were better, but because one nation, these other nations, were more wicked than the Israelites were. But even God calls them a stiff-necked people who were hard-hearted and everything else. God wanted them out. He wanted his people to be pure, to be holy, to be upright, to walk with him, to be living by faith. You see, they were wicked. They were sinners, and so are we. She asked the spies to make a covenant with her, and they do so. And that leads to those questions once again. Why did they make a covenant with her when God said not to? Her faith showed up in what she did, right? Her faith showed up in how she hid the spies, because she probably could have got paid money, right? She was after money. She probably could have got paid money for turning in these spies. But instead of taking money, she hides these spies and said, listen, you know, you hang around until it's night, I'll let you out. But don't you make this covenant with me? And so they do, but they make this covenant on a couple stipulations here. Number one, she had to tie her what color cord in the window? Scarlet. What does the color scarlet represent? It can represent two things in Scripture: blood, right, and sin. Here's my thought. As I thought about this, I thought about, here's the nation of Israel. On the night, you know, God's been sending Aaron and Moses to the Pharaoh time and time again. And on the 10th time, Pharaoh's the one who declares death, and so because he's the one who declared it, what did God bring back on him? The death of his firstborn, right? And every firstborn throughout the land. But God instructed the Israelites to do what? The night that the death angel was supposed to come through the camp, the night of Passover, what were they to do? Take the blood of the lamb and do what? Doorpost and lamb. They were to paint the sideboards and the top board, the headboard across the doorway. And symbolically, they were saying, I'm covered by what? The blood. I'm covered by the covenant. Well, in the same way, and you can disagree with me, whatever, that matter, I'm not going to argue. In fact, I believe that it's very symbolic that the thread, the cord that was hanging out the window had to be ripped. So as to say, I'm covered under the covenant. I'm a believer in the God of Israel. My faith and trust is in him. It's interesting that in the Old Covenant, or the Old Testament covenant with the Israelites, the night of Passover, the death angel comes through and he kills everyone. Firstborn, doesn't matter if it's a person, foreigner, native person, anybody, everybody, every kind of animal that was firstborn, if it wasn't covered under the blood, it died. If you think about this story, because we know the story, and we'll talk about that tonight, there are steps of faith that the Israelites have to take too. But in her, as she comes to understand and know who the God of Israel is, she places her faith and trust in him. She presents and shows her faith by placing that scarlet cord in the window. And the covenant was with the two men was, listen, you stay in your house. You get your brothers, your mother, your dad, your brothers, everybody, you bring them into your house and you close it up. And our covenant with you, because you have shown your faith in hiding us and saving our lives, we'll do the same for you. So, they go out. They go back to Joshua and tell him all that had happened. Joshua, notice it in the scripture that you can go back and read it this afternoon whenever. Joshua didn't get on to them for making a covenant with him, right? Matter of fact, he sent these two men back later on, right, back in. And we'll talk about that later. But we know, as we go ahead, fast forward a little bit, when they marched around the walls one time each for 6 days straight, seventh day, they marched around it seven times, and they blow the trumpet, and what happens to the walls? They all come tumbling down, right? Joshua sends these two spies in to bring Rahab and her family and all that she has back, right? God spared her life. God spared her family's life because of the faith that she had placed in him. She's brought back, family's brought back, but they're not allowed in the camp of the Israelites. They've been consecrated, been set apart from God. They're moved outside the walls of the, or not the walls, but outside the camp of the Israelites. So fast forward. She knew she was a sinner, needing the saving grace of God herself. And she was, as if she was saying, I tying that cord, I know I'm a sinner, needing God's grace, needing his mercy. You say, well, how did that go for her? I want us to look in the New Testament just a couple places, because you say, well, how can God think anything of a harlot or a prostitute and say that that's a good thing, and you know, we're better than she was, and you know, Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5 says, Solomon, however you want to say it, begot Boaz by who? Who is this Rahab? The same Rahab from Jericho, right? Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and who did Jesse begot? King David, right? So, wow. I mean, God can take somebody like her and use her. Better believe it. James chapter 2, verse 25 says, likewise was not Rahab the who? The harlot, also justified by works. Works don't save you. Faith saves you, but because you are saved, you should do what? Works. Was also justified by works when she received the messengers, in other words, the spies, and sent them out another way. One more look at Hebrews chapter 11. We know Hebrews chapter 11, as I like to call it, the hall of faith, right? The hall of faith. It says, by faith, right? By faith, not for any other reason. By faith, the heart of Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. You see, it was by her faith she was saved. It was by her faith she was spared. It was by God's sovereignty that God sent the spies and her to make a covenant with her because she believed in Jesus Christ. She believed in God the Father. She believed in the God of Israel. And because she was a believer, she was entitled to the same inheritance as the rest of Israel. I wonder today, because a lot of times we kind of, it's easy to put ourselves on pedestals and say, well, I'm not like that, I don't do that, and all this other kind of stuff. But we all struggle with something. There's always something in our lives that even if it's just one time, that we're deserving the death. Can I tell you that salvation is by grace through faith? It's never changed. It's always been the same. To be a child of God, to be included in the inheritance for the nation of Israel, not as a whole, but as believers, it's by faith. My question to us this morning is, where's our faith? Do we believe in the promises of God? Do we believe that God is sovereign in all the things that come into our lives? Because a lot of times we question God, and as I said before, I don't think it's wrong to question God. I would just not accuse him, okay? Question means I'm searching for an answer. And a question is, God, I want you to show me and tell me how. Accusing is saying, God, I don't know what I'm doing, right? And God does know what he's doing. But God, in his sovereignty, the things we've gone through in our lives, the troubles, the trials, the good times, the bad times, all of that is to bring us to where God wants us to be. If he can do that for a prostitute, if he can do that for a harlot named Rahab, can't he do that for us today? If we'll just simply say, Lord, I believe. I believe you are who you say you are. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came to this earth. You lived a perfect, sinless life so that you could be a perfect sacrifice for my sins, that you died on the cross, you were buried and rose again on the third day. And Lord, you say that if I place my faith and trust in you, that you'll save me. And you say, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be saved, but shall be. What about you today? Have you made that decision to put your faith and trust in Christ? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we have studied this story today, Lord, about your sovereignty, and Lord, even though But there was a whole nation, Lord, who deserved that. Or there was one who believed, and because of that belief, Lord, you saved them. Or we live in a world today where a lot of people claim to be Christian, a lot of people claim to be on the way to heaven, but their actions don't show it. Lord, we're living like the world, speaking like the world. Lord, help us to put our faith and trust in you. Lord, help us to realize we can't do it on our own. Just like that scarlet thread, Lord, that she was clinging to the promises of the God of Israel. And Lord, because of Jesus' death and his shed blood, Lord, we can cling to that scarlet thread as well in a manner of speaking. Lord, that you will save all who are under the blood. Lord, by faith in you, Lord, that places us under your body, under your blood, for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, I pray today that's a reality for all of us, but Lord, if it's not today, it can be. Lord, we simply just need to believe you and what you've done. Lord, I pray just for each one of us today, Lord, and knowing that whatever decisions we need to make, Lord, would honor and praise, glorify you. Lord, lead us and guide us now, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.